turn with me to Daniel chapter number 7. Pick up where we left off last week, Daniel chapter number 7. We were taking a look at the comparison of the two visions. We're going to be taking a look here in Daniel chapter number 7. And we were in verses 9 and 10 when we left. We had seen Daniel's vision. We hadn't looked at the interpretation that was given to him yet, but he's seen these four beasts, he's especially upset by the fourth beast that's going on, and now he sees the end. There in verse number 9 and 10, he said, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open." And we were talking about how Daniel sees what he sees here. These thrones being cast down means to be they were thrown down. These Gentile empires came to the end. And they came to an end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. The Ancient of Days here is another name for God sitting on his throne. And we saw the description there of the Ancient of Days. It's very similar to what the Apostle John says in Revelation 1:14. I'm not going to go over that again. But he talked about the throne was like a flame and had wheels burning with fire. And then in verse 10, he saw a fiery stream that came from before God. And there were thousands, that's a million, okay? If you multiply 1,000 times 1,000, that's a million. And then that came to minister, came to him and ministered to him. And then also 100 million, that's 10,000 times 10,000. And they stood before him. And the scene here is of the king who is sitting in judgment, and then the books were open. And that's where we left off last week. We talked about how we were going to take a look at this is really a parallel to what we see in Revelation chapter number 20 in verses 11 through 15, which would be the great white throne judgment. And it identifies the king as the Lord Jesus Christ, describes this final judgment when the unsaved from all the ages are brought before the Lord Jesus to be judged. Now, in verse 11 here, we see that Daniel becomes very watchful as he hears the sound of this little horn. He says, "I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake." He's talking about the little horn. "I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame." Now, he says he watched here until it was slain, the body was destroyed, it was cast into a burning flame. Revelation 19:26 also records this event as the Antichrist. Remember, the Antichrist and his false prophet are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. This is the Old Testament version of what was recorded by the Apostle John in Revelation 19:26. Then verse 12 says, "As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time." Now, in verse 13, Daniel continues to watch and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ here. He sees the Son of Man. Notice in verse 13, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him." And so you have the Father, you have the Son here. Son of Man is a designation that the Lord Jesus Christ was, it was his favorite way of referring to himself. He used it quite frequently. it was his favorite term. If you read through the New Testament, you'll find that to be the case. You ought to take and go through and read the New Testament underlined every time he talks about himself as being the Son of Man. Now, verse 14 records that the Son of Man is given dominion. He's given glory and a kingdom. Notice verse 14. There was given to him dominion and the glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Now, this is the time when, of course, the Apostle Paul had talked about what was going to be coming. He told the Philippian Christians how that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be exalted. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him," speaking of Jesus, "given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." But he's also, it's the beginning of his kingdom, where he is given that dominion, he's given that glory, and he's given a kingdom. It mentions that very, very specifically. Now, next we see the interpretation of this vision. And verses number 15 through 28. And we see here in verse 15 and 16 that Daniel is upset by what he has seen. How many of you are upset when you dream a bad dream? Yeah. Sometimes different things can cause you to dream those bad dreams. You know, I have them infrequently, but I don't like dreaming something like that that upsets me. You know, I have trouble getting back to sleep, for number one. But it's like when I figure out what it caused it, and I say, I'm not going to do that again. But sometimes it might be something I ate, or it might be I missed my medication. That's usually more like the case. I take particular medication for my complicated migraines, and when I haven't taken it when I'm supposed to, if I fail to take it at night, then I wind up with those type of dreams. So, but we see here he had this dream, and he sees he's confused about some of the things. Now, understand, we're looking back. We can look back on the history, and we can understand more of the dream than what Daniel could understand. Daniel's sitting at it from he's living with the first beast, okay? Only the first beast is on the scene, and that is the Babylonian Empire, and that's what the time he's living in. So everything else is future to him. Now we're living in that with that fourth beast, okay? But not the version that we talked about on the handout. You notice there on the handout we said there the diverse beast changes or mutates or evolves. That's still yet to come. To us, that is yet future. You know, the time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and we go to be with Him, and the tribulation breaks out here on the earth. And this little horn that Daniel has just seen arises on the scene, and there's all kinds of trouble that takes place. That is still yet future to us. And understand, we're not going to understand everything about it by looking at what we're going to look at. Okay, God has told us what He wants us to know, but it's going to be a whole lot easier to figure it out whenever it happens. But we won't be here. Okay, we'll be up with the Lord. But you'll be able to look back on it and say, oh, yeah. You know, because we can see some of the other things that are there. Well, let's take a look, verse 15 to 16. He is upset. And verse 15, he said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now, this one that's standing by is Gabriel, the angel. It doesn't tell us here, but it tells us later in the book. If you look at chapter number 9 in verse number 21. Chapter 9, verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. So it mentioned by name later, but it's not important who it was. He just sees this angel, and he's wanting to know the interpretation. I mean, he's troubled by it. He's going, what am I seeing? And we see verse 17. Here the angel begins to speak to him. And he says here, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. I'm about four kings, four kingdoms, four empires there. Verse 18, but the saints... Notice, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. And basically what he's saying here is don't get hung up on what's happened earlier. The end of the book's good. Okay? It's all gonna be okay in the end. You ever recorded your those guys that like football or baseball or something, you recorded a game that you wanted to see later and somebody spilled the beans and gave you the score. It's a whole lot easier to watch the game if you won the game, right? You know, you knew what the score was going to be. Well, see, we can look at the end of the book. We know we're on the winning side, amen? You can relax. I mean, yes, some troubling stuff going on. You know, it's kind of like when you're watching that football game and the guy fumbles the ball or throws an interception or whatever, but you know what the end score is going to be. You know you won, so it's not a big deal right now, right? Understand what I'm saying? This is kind of what we see here. This is what the way that the angel is putting it to Daniel. Those four kings, they're going to rise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High is going to take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. You know, Jesus is going to come and we're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. Don't get all bent out of shape over it, right? Now, look at what, that wasn't good enough for Daniel. look at verse number 19. He said he's wanting to get beyond this just simple knowledge. There in verse number 19 says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. That fourth beast is really troubling to Daniel. He says, which was diverse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. Yeah, you'd want to know something about that, wouldn't you? You know, that sounds like a pretty upsetting thing to have seen. And that's what he saw in this vision. And this was beyond what he had seen. Remember when he gave King Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation of his dream? Remember, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, couldn't remember the dream. He said, I need somebody to tell me the dream, tell me the interpretation. God revealed the dream to Daniel. God revealed the interpretation to Daniel, but that fourth kingdom, I mean, all he was seeing this image of a man, and you know, he was given the various parts, and this part where this kingdom was at, you just had the iron mixed with clay, and the 10 toes down there, the feet, iron mixed with clay, and that was that upsetting. Yeah, yes, the image came and busted it all apart, just blew the image apart. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's on your handout there. When you're comparing notes there, on the very first page, down on the far left, feet of iron mixed with clay, it's the same as the diverse beast. It changes and mutates or evolves. It's that when those 10 horns arise in it, 10 horns, 10 toes, okay? It's just a different image, but talking about the same thing. Then a little horn arises among the 10 horns. That's the thing that was missing from that first vision. Okay, the little horn bothered Daniel. And when you think about the little horn that he saw, one of the things that he saw in the little horn, he saw the horn had eyes and a great mouth. Now think of the horn of it like a horn on a beast, like a We raised cows, and some of our cows had horns. You know, think of it that way, or sheep, or something like that. That's the kind of horns that you see on these beasts. Now, if you saw a horn, you've got some eyes popped out of it, and it's got a mouth that's speaking great things, that'd be a little troubling, wouldn't it? That's what he's seen. And so he's wanting to know about this little horn that has eyes like a man and a mouth that speaks great things. Notice what he says there in verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was averse from all others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And that word look there is his vision. We'll take a look at that whenever we look at the Antichrist. Don't get hung up on that right now. But we see here that as Daniel asked for more information, the fourth beast is identified. Notice verse number 21. He says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. He's talking about the little horn now. The little horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That troubled him bad. You know, when you see other believers that are allowed to, you know, to have to suffer. He's seeing these suffering believers at the hand of this little horn. Verse 22, until he prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now, that's a good thing, but, you know, it was really troubling to him that that this little horn was allowed to prevail against them for a period of time. Notice verse 23. And this is the angel talking again. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom. He's giving him the interpretation of this little part that has asked additional information on. And this angel says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now, from this we can understand that the dominion of this little horn is going to be over the whole earth, right? I mean, this we're not talking localized, we're not talking a European thing, we're not talking just a over there in the area of Israel. We're talking about it's going to be a whole worldwide event that is happening here. Notice verse 24. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Okay, so here's the picture. You got ten, and there's an 11th one that comes up. Okay, 11th one that comes up, and he absorbs three. Okay, he takes and he subdues those three kings. The little horn subdues three of the other horns. And notice verse 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. If you wonder where we got the expression, just, you know, somebody just wore somebody out, that's where it comes from right there. He wore out the saints. In other words, he was prevailing against them of the Most High. And think to change times and laws. And when you think about that, and you think about our current day, man, this we probably didn't really understand how something like that could happen, but something like this has happened in our own country this year. Am I right? Yeah. I mean, the times have changed. Times have changed. Laws have changed. Changed the times that we live in. This is not the same America as it was last year. Just not. You say what you want to, but it ain't the same. And it's going to be on a larger, grander scale, worldwide scale, this thing that what we're talking about. And you know, somebody look at that and think, well, you know, that just couldn't happen. Well, yes, it can. Okay, if it can happen on a wide scale basis in our own dear country, you know, the greatest country in most powerful country in the world, at least we were at one time. If it can happen in this country, it could happen all over the world. Notice, and they shall be given into his hand. Now, this is the part that Daniel is really, really having trouble with. The saints are literally given over to allow the little horn to do what he wants for a period of time. Okay? That's what it's talking about. They shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing a time. Time is 1 year. Times is 2 years. And dividing time is a half a year. You divide one, and you got a half. So you got one plus two plus a half. That's 3.5 years. That's half the tribulation period. Okay, half of the 7 year tribulation period. He's going to have his way, warring against the saints. What it's speaking of. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. In other words, you know, when his time is done, he's got a short period of time. When his time's done, he's done. And he's going to be destroyed. His life's going to be taken away from him. He's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Notice verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. And again, he's pointing out this positive aspect. Yes, there's some troubling aspects of things that he sees there, but the good news is, in the end, the saints are going to rule and reign with the Lord. And verse 28, he said, hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He couldn't even talk about it to anybody. In fact, I think he just wrote it down. He wrote it down. He has this vision. He writes it down. And if you're like Daniel, you probably find the material is a little confusing in places. Understand that by the end of this study, things will become clearer. Okay? And Daniel had a clearer understanding later on of some of the stuff. As you study through Daniel, you build your understanding and knowledge. And one can plainly see that Daniel did not understand what he was seeing, and that most of what was being revealed to him was future to his day. Now, like I said, today we have the great advantage of being able to look back in recorded history and understand the nature of these kingdoms as recorded in history, and we can see. I can see how the bear leaning up on one side, that would be the Medes and the Persians, because one side was stronger than the other side. We can see those things, but Daniel could not see it. He was on the other side of that. But we can look back and we can see how parts of it have been fulfilled. Now, this first vision of Daniel sets the stage for Daniel's following visions. And when all the visions are studied, the subject of these prophecies will be better understood. In fact, they'll further clarify much of the symbolism that we find in the book of Revelation. And what's important is that through the study of Daniel, God's future plans for the earth can be understood, because we can see the panorama of history through the end of time and into eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, Set that down there. Now take a look at your handout tonight. The one that was in your prayer list there, the 11 facts about Antichrist. And this stuff is contained here in Daniel chapter number 7. I want to give you 11 facts. It's kind of interesting. You got 11. You got the 10 horns, and you got the little horn, 11. I didn't plan it that way, but anyway. The Antichrist, first of all, will not create a tenfold confederacy. But rather, he will arise after them. There's going to be a 10-nation confederacy that rises up, and he's going to come up among them. He will subdue 3 of the 10 and then absorb the confederacy. Once he subdues the 3, he has gotten such a reputation at that point that the others just look to him. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Look at Daniel. I put these verses out for you so you wouldn't have to look them up. But Daniel 7:8, he said, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots." That's what we're talking about there. Daniel 7:24, the interpretation that was given there, and the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. So the 10 come up first. The other rises after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And then, of course, you compare that to Revelation 13, verses 3 and 4. We know that all the world wondered after the beast. I mean, he's going to be a worldwide phenomenon. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Well, if the whole world's saying that, don't you think that those other 7 that weren't subdued, that they're looking at that and say, "Oh, I think we just need to do whatever the beast says," right? This little horn. We need to just do whatever the little horn says. Because, man, we don't want to be like those 3 that he took over. Second thing here. At first, the Antichrist was just another king. That's why he's called a little horn. He's going to be obscure. So Daniel 7:8. There came up among them another little horn. He'll rise from obscurity, but that won't last long. He'll make a name for himself. Number 3, though the Antichrist will be just a mortal man, and that's all he is, okay? He's not Superman. The people are going to think he is. He's just a mortal man. But satanic power behind him will make him significant and seemingly invincible. There, Daniel 7:8, "Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." And think about that horn with eyes like a man, mouth speaking great things. Revelation 13:2, "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." You say, well, that Daniel 7:8 looks like something that would be demonic, right? Right? You got a horn that's got eyes and got a mouth. That sounds a little demonic. Well, the dragon's what gives him your power and his seat and his great authority. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Look at number 4. The Antichrist's march to worldwide power will begin with his successful conquest of 3 kingdoms. And of course, where he plucked them up by the roots there in Daniel 7:8. In Daniel 7:24, "He shall subdue 3 kings." We saw seen that. A 5th thing, some special things about the Antichrist will be, some things about the Antichrist will be special. Get it right? Sometimes the mouth don't say it the way the eyes are seeing it. But Daniel 7:24, "He shall be diverse from the first." He's going to be different from the first 10 horns. Revelation 13:5-15, "Say, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." Now, we don't know what, some of this stuff is going to be confusing to us. What does that mean? He had power to give life unto the image of the beast. What in the world is the image of the beast? Well, man, our world is getting more and more about images, isn't it? Am I right? It's tough to separate what's real from what's not real. I mean, how many times do you look at something that comes up and you say, "I wonder how they did that?" Because there ain't no way that just happened. There ain't no way that anybody could do that and live. You know? But it's amazing what they can do with images. Am I correct? It's going to become clearer. I'm not saying that we're going to understand it, but it may become clearer as we get closer to the time of it happening. Because it is getting clearer now. Yeah. But he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This guy's going to be worshipped. He's going to make sure that he's worshipped. He opposes every other god. Did you get that? He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. He causeth all. Well, how's he going to do that? Well, we don't know, but it's going to happen. Okay? He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, bought free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and been all kinds of speculation of what is the mark of the beast. You know, I remember when the barcodes first came out on the cans and all that. I said, well, it must be the prelude to the mark of the beast. And now, you know, they're talking about they can insert a little chip about the size of a piece of rice up under your. They're doing it in dogs and cats and all to put information, and even putting in some folks' hands for medical purposes. Well, I don't know that that's the mark of the beast. No, it's a prelude to it. What is it going to be like? I don't know. It just gives us the information that we have here, but then you're going to have it if you're going to buy or sell. And verse 17 says there, and that no man might buy or sell save he had that mark, in the name of the beast or the number of his name. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. It's going to be believable. Okay? He's going to have power, satanic power. He's going to be able to show signs. He's going to be able to show lying wonders. We're living in a time where this kind of thing draws people. It just draws them. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I believe the Antichrist is going to be a very intelligent man, a vision. I think that's part of what Daniel 7:8 is implying. In his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man. In Daniel 7:20, whose look, the sight or vision, was more stout than his fellows. That word stout means abundant. You know, he could see things that others couldn't see. I think that's what it's referring to. He's going to be a great orator. Daniel 7:8, in this horn, he had a mouth speaking great things. He would be a blasphemer. Daniel 7:25, he shall speak great words against the Most High. That's God. Revelation 13 also tells us that he's a blasphemer. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the earth, in heaven. He's going to seek to make his accession a new era. You know, time, he shall think to change times and laws. We already mentioned that. You know, not unlike any other time that you've ever lived in. I never thought we'd see the day that we're living in right now, the things that we see right now. But it's going to get worse. That's just a prelude, okay? It's just to let you know it can happen. It can happen, all right? He will seek to destroy the saints. Daniel 7:25 shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Revelation 13:7 says it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. But thank God we know his time will be short, right? Daniel 7:25, they shall be given into his hand into a time and times and the dividing time, 3.5 years. And Revelation 11:2 backs us up. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the city, holy city, shall they tread underfoot 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5, power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. Okay? I know we ran over that quick, but I gave you all the stuff there to take a look at it and study it a little bit more. But we're done with the vision in chapter number 7. We'll move on to the vision, chapter number 8, Lord willing, next time. Okay? All right. Let's pray for our needs on our prayer list, and we'll be done tonight.